Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, February 7th, 2016. The Reverend Joanne Martindale is preaching. The sermon for today is Super Bowl of Caring. The Old Testament reading is Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. The Gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36.
Okay, everybody, today is, we're doing something with this. And Michael Cerna is awesome. He rocks. He's one of the kids on Wednesday night. We have a lot of wonderful kids. Yay, we're so excited you're here. Yay, and he's going to read a little bit for us today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Who can tell me what special sporting event is happening today?
Super Bowl.
You're right. You're right, Super Bowl Sunday. Can anyone else tell me about another special event that happens in churches all around the world? Today is S-O-U-P-E-R, Bowl of Caring Sunday. The Super Bowl of Caring Sunday is important for two reasons. One, it helps people who are hungry get food to eat. Two, the Super Bowl of Caring was started and led by youth. Every Super Bowl Sunday, youth across the entire country ask people in their churches to bring $1 or one canned good to give people who are hungry. Raise your hand if you think that $1 or one canned good can help a lot of people. It doesn't seem like a lot, does it? Raise your hand if you think that if everyone in our church brought $1 or one canned good, that the collection would help a lot of people. I bet our collection today could help many people. What if everyone in our city or in our whole country gave $1 on Super Bowl Sunday? Would that be a lot? Absolutely. Last year, over $10 million worth of food and money was collected to help people in need, all done Super Bowl Sunday and was led by youth in our churches. When we all come together to help people, we can make really good things happen. Let's feed some people today. Thanks for listening and caring.
Exodus 34, and it begins in verse 29. Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that God had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. Moses had finished speaking with them. He put a veil on his face, but whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. The Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. And then our New Testament reading comes from Luke. Very similar. This is what we oftentimes refer to as the Mount of Transfiguration. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came down and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one of the things they had seen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to talk to you today about body language. Okay, that might seem a little like an odd thing to preach about. I want to talk to you about the kinds of things that make our faces shine. Those moments when we think our hearts will burst, when we're so full of joy and gratitude. Maybe our faces light up when we catch the sight of someone we love across a crowded room. Or maybe we smile and our faces light up when we see someone in church we haven't seen for a long time. Or we see someone in our family we haven't seen for a long time. Maybe somebody at work says, "Hey, good job, way to go," and our faces light up again. Maybe someone places a child in our arms for the first time. I don't know about you, but when I had my two boys in that hospital and they put that child on my chest, there was never a better day. My face lit up, trust me. Maybe we're confronted by somebody angry and our face takes a different shape, right? Or how many people have been horseback riding? Have you ever gotten on a horse and it has a mind of its own and it took off and it scared the jeebers out of you? Yes, you remember that. I still remember the terror I had. My face showed the terror, right? Okay. Maybe we can also remember feeling when someone cares for us. I mean, that feeling, the way our face lights up when they really care. When you know they've connected with you and you've connected with them. I mean, somebody goes the extra mile for you when you didn't deserve it or expect it. Maybe when we needed it most and they didn't know we needed it. Maybe we helped someone in need. Maybe somebody helped us. I don't know about you, but I couldn't get through this particular life if it wasn't for special people. People that will listen, people that will notice, people that will love me, just the way I am, faults and all. People who will notice if I'm down or not feeling myself. Do you have those people in your life who will notice that about you? Yeah, I see a lot of heads nodding. Yeah. I remember in Iraq in 2005, it was Mother's Day. I was the division command chaplain there, and I preached a sermon on Mother's Day, and then I walked back to my office. A couple of bombs went off, which was pretty typical for that place at that time, and several people were injured, and it didn't feel like any other Mother's Day that I had ever experienced before. It was the first Mother's Day that I was away from my children, who were 9 and 10 at the time, and I was profoundly sad. And I managed to preach a sermon to 300 people that day and then go supervise some other chaplains who were preaching. But to be honest, I don't have any idea what I said on that Mother's Day, and I really couldn't tell you what they said in their sermons either. My sadness had taken over. Have you ever had those kinds of times in your life when the sadness seems to just roll over you and you least expect it? My body language was giving me away. It was difficult to be positive. It was difficult to care. So after the sermon, I walked back to my office and I closed my office door. And to be honest, I didn't want anyone to come in for counseling. I just wanted to be alone. I was sitting in my office. I was feeling pretty sad on that Mother's Day when Anthony, my chaplain assistant, knocked on my door. And he said that somebody wanted to talk with me on the phone in his office. I told him I really didn't want to talk to anybody. Could he really just handle that call? Because I didn't even want to do it. And he told me it was an emergency and only I could handle that particular call. And I rolled my eyes and reluctantly said, okay, I'll go. And I walked across the hall to his office. And I said, "Hello, this is Chaplain Martindale." And I was expecting to hear some kind of crisis or somebody who passed or some memorial service I had to do or something like that. And I just said, "Hello, this is Chaplain Martindale." And on the other end of the phone were my sons, Quinn and Ryan, 9 and 10 at the time, saying, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." Anthony had seen how profoundly sad I had been, and he called them and got them on the phone, and I could talk with them. Do you think my face changed? Right? Yeah, my face lit up like never before. We talked for 30 minutes about their teacher, about their classmates, what they had for breakfast, the Legos they made that particular day. I will never forget that phone call because the way my body language changed so profoundly from sadness and pain to complete joy. Some things you never forget. When we talk of shining faces or profound joy, we are usually speaking of those moments in our lives when we experience the extremes of what it is to be human, which also are the moments when we are closest to an experience of the divine. We call these mountaintop experiences. Moses, in our pericope today, came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses didn't know that the skin on his face shone because he had been talking with God. He visibly was changed by talking with God. His face changed. Transfiguration changed. What exactly and why exactly was Moses' face shining? Was it joy or terror talking to God, or some potent mixture of the two maybe? I remember my Princeton Seminary professor of Old Testament talked about the way the Israelites understood the holiness of God. He called it radioactive. And I was kind of put up, but what are you talking about, sir? He said that relationship with God can be powerful, and for the Israelites it was sometimes terrifying, something most sensible people wanted to kind of stay away from. But when we expect to come away from encounters with God altered, we will. Let me say that again. When we expect to come away with our communication with God altered, we will. What does that mean? What does that mean, anybody? Go ahead. Yeah, we can be transformed. What else? If we expect it. You have to expect it. In your communication with God and in your talking with God, you have to expect that God can transform you from the inside, right? So we come away from our experiences with God expecting to be changed. When we feel the depths of human emotion, like all of us have felt, we have these mountaintop experiences. We can expect our body language to change. We can expect our face to light up or be terrified if we're on a horse. We can expect to be changed and altered. It's in those moments when God speaks to us most. This is actually, in our Bible, the second time Moses has come down from the mountain bearing the tablets of the covenant. Do you happen to remember what occurred the first time he came down from the mountain? There you go, golden calf. Yeah, the first time Moses came down, he found the people had made the calf out of gold. Yikes, false idol, not a good thing. A big no-no in those days. He learned that they were worshiping the golden calf and treating it as God instead of God. Moses was not happy. After that fiasco, Moses returns to the mountaintop and finds that God is still willing to give the law again, anew, sends Moses back down. But this time, Moses' face is changed. His face is shining, visibly different. He's a visibly different person because of his mountaintop experience. I imagine it might have been tempting for Moses to just leave the Israelites behind and simply remain up on top of the mountain with God. Certainly less drama. Why not stay there in deep communion with the Holy One? Instead of put up with the whining Israelites. No more melted bracelets to deal with. No more God is a craft project. Just saying. Well, I imagine God didn't, because that is not what God calls Moses to do. And it's not what God calls us to do. Mountaintop experiences are great. But eventually you have to come back down the mountain to what? Reality. We all know about reality. In my home church growing up, which was Grandview Presbyterian Church in Glendale, We went to places like Forest Home, Calvin Crest. We did work projects, and I absolutely loved them because it got me out of the house, and some were beautiful, and I had multiple mountaintop experiences where people get together and are changed by the relationships and by God's Spirit. So these places are a lot like Zephyr Point in Lake Tahoe or Westminster Woods here in Northern California, or the Presbyterian Youth Triennium coming up where youth will gather and connect thousands of them and have these mountaintop experiences where they are not the same afterward. They are all places, these camps are all places where what happens? God changes you. You're different because of the experience. Places where you can feel accepted by someone your age, if it's a youth going up, have fun, see God, learn about yourself. When you go up to the mountaintop, you are changed forever. Well, in our pericope, God gives Moses the covenant and sends him back down the mountain. And in doing that, God claims the people as God's own. God gives Moses the covenant and sends him back down the mountain so that the people can have the guidance they need to live in harmony with each other and with God. So Moses' shining face has a purpose. And this is to convey the holiness of God to the people in a usable form, the laws and promises and commitments that will bind them together as God's people forever. So there's a joy and there's an unknown in the mountaintop experiences of our lives. Those moments when, for better or for worse, we bind ourselves to other human beings so that together we might carry out God's purposes. So on that Mother's Day, I couldn't do it myself. I needed the Christian community to notice my pain of missing my children. Anthony called my children, got them on the phone, and changed my mourning into joy. I ask you, how do we care for others? How do we change their mourning into joy? If you take time to notice the people around you who God has put in your life already, whether it's spouses or partners or friends or people at work or whoever God's put in your life, do you notice their mourning? And how can you change it to joy with God's help through prayer? Next weekend, for 3 days, I have the joy, complete joy, I have to be honest with you, of taking 10 kids and 5 adults, myself included, to Lake Tahoe to have a mountaintop experience. We're going to sled down mountains. I'm excited. We're going to eat some good food. We're going to play. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk about God. And I'm going to share about God and provide a place of caring where the kids can be themselves. Our youth group kids can be themselves. I and other adults, some are here this morning that are going, are going to love them, notice them, have fun with them. Did you hear me say notice them? You know, kids really want to be noticed, don't they? They want to know that you see them, right? All the time, you know, being a teacher, you know. Notice them, have fun with them, because you think it's because we can't find anything to do else to do next weekend? No, I have enough things to do. This family has enough things to do. David has enough things to do. Yeah, exactly. So we have four of us here. Stand just for a second. The people are going to Lake Tahoe. Amy, Michael, and David, right? These are, right? Thank you. These are people that are giving up their 3-day weekend. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to Judy Sullivan's cabin. You stand up. They're going to go hang out in her place, right? I mean, hello. This is a community event. This is a community event where we're going to have mountaintop experiences. We are. We're going to have that. God's going to change these kids. I know it. I just know it. Because we want to show these kids and each other God's love, right? So we want them to have this mountaintop experience. I don't know about you, but I was changed by my mountaintop experiences so much that I'm here today. Seriously. I mean, I can't tell you how many wonderful experiences at Christian camps I went to, and I was different afterward. So I want these kids to feel the difference between their church friends and their soccer friends. Right? I want their church friends to care more deeply, to love more fully, to have their back, different from their soccer friends. because Christ calls us to be in community with each other, to have each other's back, to help each other when we're not strong, all that, right? So also, I've already been telling you, March 20th, Palm Sunday, we're going to both baptize and confirm some of the kids in our youth group. They've been studying the Bible, Presbyterian confessions all year. They've played, they've laughed, they've had pillow fights, they've wrestled with what it means to be Christian. Many of them have made decisions to join the church. Some of them have not, and that's okay too, because they're thinking about it and they're making those decisions on their own. It's their choice, not their parents' choice, right? So, but many of them made decisions, baptism, and why? Because they love Christian community and they love each other and they love God. And they're growing in their relationship with God. Do the kids have more to learn? Yes. Do they know everything about the church? No. Do they sometimes prefer pillow fights with their friends instead of reading the Bible? Yes. Do they come every Wednesday night with an open heart to be loved? Yes. And they have fun in their church with their friends? Yes. My face should probably be beaming right now because I love these kids of the church and everything that they bring. They're sweaty, irreverent, unpolished, real. Did I say sweaty? Yeah, okay, sweaty. You know, we do have a lot of guys. I'm just going to say that. So they're very sweaty. Okay, so especially after they run around. Anyway, don't get me started. You should come on Wednesday night. You will see how sweaty they get. Anyway, I love them just as they are, even when they hug me and they're sweaty. Okay. The fearful and joyful mystery for the kids and for us is that Christ has already come down the mountaintop to claim these youth and to claim us. By coming to youth group, confirmation class, Wednesday, these kids have formed Christian community. And they care about each other. They fight with each other and they make up. Just like Christian community, just like the church. We are already, every one of us, bound together for the work that Christ calls us to do. God has already committed us into one another's care. This is the kind of day that makes our faces shine. This coming weekend in Lake Tahoe will be a mountaintop experience for 10 kids and 5 adults. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. He was just being faithful, and he was just talking to God. Let every shining face we meet remind us that God binds us together in Christian community. God entrusts us to one another's care, and God walks beside us as we walk with one another. So as we head up to Lake Tahoe next Saturday for 3 days with 10 kids and 5 adults, pray for us. Don't pray that we have a good time. Don't pray we get good snow. But pray that hearts are changed. That the kids and adults come down the mountaintop different. Different than when they came up. Pray that God becomes real for these kids. And that their faces light up when they feel God's love for them. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.